Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Wessex Safety Hour conference call hosted by Hector Kitts. My name is Gemma, and I'm your event manager. During the presentation, your lines will remain on listen only, but if you need any assistance at any time, please key star then zero on your telephone, and an operator will be happy to assist you. I would like to advise all parties that the conference is being recorded for replay purposes. And now I'd like to hand over to Hector. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon, Wessex Roots. This is Hector Kitts. For those of you who don't know me, I am the senior engineer on the route responsible for earthworks and drainage. So if you have any concerns about any of the earthwork assets on the route or any of the drainage assets on the route, feel free to get hold of me. Or get hold of your TMEs and they will know who I am, and more than happy to pass things my way. We'll get into safety call then. I did this last week, and I went through a couple of examples of incidents that had happened within the rail industry over the last year or so, and had safety briefs out. But I've kind of exhausted that source of information, so I thought I'd have a look at a couple of other places where there's some interesting information out there where we can learn some lessons. And if you're running your own team safety briefs, it's definitely a place that's worth checking out. One is the RAIB website, that's the Rail Accident Investigation Bureau. Their website has got a whole load of information about recent accidents and incidents within the rail industry and the work that they're carrying out, and some really good reports into work that they have undertaken to investigate incidents. And I thought I'd, off their news page of a recent incident, I thought I'd pass on some little headline information there, and it sort of prompts a little bit of discussion. So on the 14th of February this year, there was an incident in Leicestershire where an in-service passenger train travelling at 102 miles per hour collided with the extended conveyor boom from a ballast wagon. It's quite an unpleasant incident, really, from many perspectives, and luckily nobody killed, although there was somebody seriously injured in the incident. So the basic setup of the incident was that the passenger service was passing on an open line past sidings, and within the sidings there was some work being carried out on the ballast conveyor on the end of this engineering train. And there's only a little bit of information on the website at the moment, but the boom was out to the side of the wagon, presumably to provide access for the staff that were undertaking the maintenance work, and the train passing on a open line adjacent struck the end of the boom, created quite a bit of damage to the train. The train driver applied the emergency brake, and it took him 3/4 of a mile to stop. He was then able to inspect his train and determine it was safe to continue to the next station where he could train his passengers. But the guy who was working on the conveyor was hurt and had to be taken to hospital. And I think that just raises some questions about work that we all undertake adjacent to open lines, or work that we undertake where at a time later on there's going to be trains running again. So are we adequately planning everything we do to make sure that we don't encroach on the envelope for trains either during the work or after work? And I know certainly the work that my team clients, we do a lot of heavy construction work adjacent to the open line, and at the moment we're doing a big piece of work on the ETF line between Eastleigh and Botley, where we've got some very big excavators doing sheet piling work. And in order to make sure that that work progresses safely, we've done a huge amount of work with the route and with the safety team from IT to make sure that those potential conflicts between that heavy equipment and the trains on the open lines don't lead to an incident, and we have to take a line block every time we pitch a new sheet pile and then hand the line back once that sheet pile is in a safe position. And you know, the guys on site have got very good at doing that, and we've managed to get through that construction job now without, you know, working very close to open lines, but without any safety incidents. But it's very easy to see what's going on a job where you're working in daylight, as they are on this one, and the trains are running between operations. And I wonder, do we genuinely plan everything that we do properly to make sure that when we hand back at the end of a piece of work that we've done nothing? And that could be things as simple as stacking scrap in the cess, placing ballast bags ready for use in a upcoming possession. You know, are we being absolutely ensuring that when we plan our work, that all of those issues between equipment that we might be keeping in the cess at the top of wraps, that sort of thing, and the running lines, are we making sure we've got all of the clearances we should have? And then at the end of the job, as we're packing up and we're making equipment safe for later collection, are we making sure again that that's stacked well away from the open lines? That's what I wanted to take off the RABE website today, really, but also to have that discussion about ALO working and working close to open lines. The other place that I've had a quick look around was on the HSE website. And although our main contact with the sort of safety regulator is via the Office of Rail Regulation, there's an awful lot of stuff that goes on within the construction industries in general, which I think is very applicable to the work that we carry out in the rail environment. And it's absolutely worth having a look at the Health and Safety Executive website. And if you look through the news pages on the Health and Safety Executive website, it's just got a very quick summary of some incidents. And there's tremendous parallels between the work that the HSE do regulating the rest of industry and the things that we do in the rail industry. So there's a few incidents that I've pulled out which I think are sort of useful to spark a bit of conversation. The first one, it sounds like a bit of a comedy setup, but it's absolutely not. Where an older member of the community, and actually it's on Wessex Route, although that's incidental, was trying to manoeuvre his mobility scooter to get into a block of flats and bumped into a glass screen adjacent to the front door of his property. And rather than that screen acting as a barrier and preventing his scooter moving on, he went straight through the screen, and unfortunately he fell down to a walkway below and was killed. And I thought there's some interesting lessons there in that when we're carrying out work around the railway, are we actually thinking about the unusual things that could happen? You know, we quite often have to undertake temporary works to make our sites safe. And are we making sure that the temporary works are not just dealing with the everyday occurrence, but are they making a slightly unusual? You know, I don't think the local authority that owns the building where this guy went through the screen deliberately created a weakness and then he could get through, but maybe they hadn't risk assessed sort of impact loading of somebody in a mobility scooter versus a pedestrian. And are we doing the same thing? And you know, we have a huge number of people moving through our stations, and we have engineering work going on in the stations as they're upgraded and repaired. And I just sort of wonder, are we, as we move around the route, have we got our eyes open, and are we reporting the things that might cause concern if the slightly unusual happens? And you know, by the slightly unusual, I guess around the station environment, pedestrians and that sort of thing. What about if there's an event on that weekend and we've got high passenger loads if we only normally see the station during the middle of the day. At rush hour, is there a bit of a crush? And in those circumstances, is there any temporary hoarding and that sort of thing? If any of us see that stuff that doesn't look safe, are we being absolutely certain that we're passing that back to the relevant teams, close calling it and all that sort of thing, and making sure that's appropriately dealt with? The next one that sort of caught my attention, there was a recent prosecution of a steel fabrication company for operating cranes without in-date Lola certification. And again, we have all sorts of lifting equipment on the railway. The Lola regs absolutely apply to our equipment. And are we completely sure that within every depot, every piece of lifting equipment is known about and is inspected at the correct frequencies? And I know that we're very good and we're very rigorous in ensuring that all of the correct tickets for all of our rented plant are in date, and you know we reject machines if they turn up without the correct paperwork. But are there any little things out there in the depots? You know, this steel fabrication company, it was the cranes within their workshop. You know, they were not doing work out on site, endangering people out in the community, but it was endangering their own staff by not having the correct certification. And it's quite small stuff sometimes that can require Lola sign-off. You know, little lifting derricks on the back of pickups, all sorts of specialist equipment for lifting items. Some of the kit that we might have knocking around, you know, you can have lifting brackets that fit on the forks of forklift trucks and that kind of thing. Is there anything out there that we use for lifting that we're not signing off? And then, of course, we need to have proper safety inspections and sign off on all of your scops and chains and all of that kind of thing. And then, of course, the conversation extends onto any other equipment and whatever regulations that cover that. So are we making sure we're doing the little things right? I know that we're really good at doing the big things right, but are we making sure that we've got all of the small things in hand? You know, is there something out the back of the depot that we don't usually use, but we wheel it out occasionally? The next one is sort of one of many, really. There's two recurring themes that come through strong on the HSC website. One is around cable strikes. Cable strikes are happening frequently in industry, and they happen fairly frequently on the railway as well. So this first example I'll go through. It was a central London job, actually, contractor working on some refurbishment work for the House of Lords. Well, that's fairly incidental. The main point of the piece is that two people were seriously hurt after striking an 11 kV electricity cable. And the disappointing thing with the incident was that the cable had been exposed during previous work and was known about by the people supervising the work. Unfortunately, the two people that were hurt were not briefed about the location of the cable or briefed about the fact that it was live when they were using a jackhammer to break out brickwork close to the cable. So, again, you know, it's headlines on the website, and exactly what happened is difficult to determine, but they managed to break through this 11 kV cable, and both suffered injuries as a result. And I think the take-home messages on this piece for me, really, firstly, cable strikes, a big problem in industry, a big problem in the rail industry, and are we doing everything that we should be doing to avoid cable strikes on every site? But the next thing is, it's around sort of shift change and handing work over. So on this particular piece of work, there was some poor planning, so the cable was known about, the cable was exposed, but it wasn't subsequently protected, which would not have presumably been that difficult to do. But the big failing, really, in my mind from the quick look, is that there was some sort of handover. So the people that exposed the cable and you knew that cable was live, that information did not end up in the possession of the people who were then working in the area. And so are we sure when we're doing larger pieces of work, when you end up with a shift change, are we sure that the risks that are identified by the first shift are handed effectively into the next shift? Do we know that the people who come along behind us are going to be safe? And then that feeds on right the way through to project closeout. You know, if we are laying cables, are we making sure that all of the cable locations are recorded so they go onto the drawings? If we've got cable ducts, are we making sure that we go the extra mile and make sure every cable is in the duct? You know, we walk around the route and we all see cables that are not in ducts. Well, we know they should be. Are we close calling those? Because it is the sort of thing that could well lead to an accident at some point in the future, when people who don't know about that risk are working in that location. The other big sort of theme on the HSE website is around falls from height. I know HSE have been undertaking a bit of a campaign on falls from height, but that is because falls from height are still occurring frequently in the industry. And yes, we all sort of think, well, falls from height, it's going to be a big problem in roofing, for instance, or construction where people are working height on scaffolding. But actually, quite a lot of these falls from height that are resulting in serious injuries and prosecutions, they're not always that far. You know, there's quite a lot of examples of relatively minor domestic refurbishments taking place and relatively minor improvements, changes and maintenance to industrial buildings where people are not working at great height. They're working doing relatively mundane tasks, but it doesn't take much for a fall to cause a serious injury. So are we sure when we are planning our work that we're identifying all of the opportunity, you know, all of the risks from falling at height, and are we dealing with them? And you know, a recent example of this within the route is the drain tram that we use for undertaking our drainage works on the route have been overlooked. You know, we've improved the safety of people working on the back of road vehicles, but the drain tram is used to transport materials to site, and that's good. It removes an awful lot of manual handling. But we identified that we didn't have a safe system of work for getting equipment on and off the drain tram. That has now been largely closed out. There's been some additional some modifications made to the tram so that a lanyard system can be used. And in the meantime, we've got improved methods of working that safeguard against the risk. So relatively small drops can have serious consequences. And are we just making sure that when we're planning our work that we're removing the opportunity for people to have the small falls that can be life-threatening and life-changing? The third and final sort of point that I'll cover off the HSE website is there's a lot of incidents happening in demolition. But interestingly, when you look into them a little bit further, there's great parallels to the things that we do in the rail industry. You know, the highly publicised incident in the power station just recently where a big piece of that building collapsed and killed some people working there is not the sort of incident that actually happens in demolition frequently. The sort of incident that is happening is people stacking materials unsafely, planning work poorly, conflict between vehicles where site setup isn't safe. And these are all things that can occur on our sites if we're not careful. You know, so if we have a stack of sleepers that need to be moved, if we don't make sure that those sleepers are stacked safely, they could move and injure somebody in the future. So actually, if you know, in terms of managing the safety on the site, planning your vehicle moves, planning your lifts properly so that you don't double handle equipment and all that kind of thing, and making sure that everything is segregated so you know what's what, so that everything is tidy, and so that you don't end up stacking things unsafely because you haven't properly planned where you're going to put them down before you pick them up is the kind of thing that leads to accidents. I just sort of thought, you know, that sort of brings us back to the first point about planning the work when the line will be open later as well. You know, stacking materials at the end of a job, they could well come into contact with moving train if we don't think about that properly when we plan the work. So just to recap there, two websites which are really useful for looking at other incidents out in industry. One is the RAIB website, that's RAID, just bung that in Google and it will come straight up. Another one is the Health and Safety Executive website. Loads of information there, also loads of sort of guidance on undertaking risk assessments and that sort of thing. If for any reason you want to use something in addition to what we use day-to-day in Network Rail. I think that's sort of me covered. So Gemma, if you'd like to sort of bring this portion to a close and then we can open up for questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, your question and answer session will now begin. If you would like to ask a question, please ensure that your handset is not muted. Key star then one on your telephone, record your name and press the hash key. If you then decide to withdraw your question, simply key star two. All questions will be answered in the order received and you will be advised when to ask your question. All other lines will remain on listen only. So just to remind you, if you would like to ask a question, please key star, then one on your telephone, record your name and press the hash key. Thank you. We have no questions coming through at this time, so just to remind you, if you would like to ask a question, please key star, then one on your telephone, record your name, and press the hash key.
Well, it looks like we're going to go question free today. Thanks very much for letting me allow me to bang on for 25 minutes there about accidents out in the rest of the industry. I think that's probably us done. So, Gemma, if you could please end the call. Thank you.
Certainly. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes your conference call for today. You may now disconnect. Thank you for joining. Have a very good day.